Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Traveler, episode 779. Today, batten down the hatches and raise the mainsail, and we're going to do a different type of episode with no fixed itinerary as we head down east to do a main windjammer cruise. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Let's go sailing in Maine. I'd like to welcome to the show Sharon Kurtz. Sharon Kurtz is a travel writer. You can find her work at sharonkkurtz.com. And Sharon has come to talk to us about a windjammer cruise in Maine. Sharon, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
And when we talk about a windjammer cruise, first of all, what are we talking about?
Well, this is a tall ship in Maine, along the coast, that travels only by the winds. There is no motor at all on this cruise.
Mm-hmm. And what's your connection with Maine Windjammer?
Well, I am a travel writer, and I was invited by the Maine Windjammer Association to take this one-week cruise with the Louis R. French, the oldest windjammer sailing vessel in America. And I jumped at the chance.
Excellent. Well, and when Sharon wrote to me and talked to me about this cruise, my only hesitation was that if I had her on the show to tell you about this cruise, then they wouldn't invite me. And it really honestly made me pause. But Sharon, why do you think people should take a windjammer cruise?
It is a vacation experience unlike any you have probably had. You enjoy the beautiful scenery of Maine's unspoiled coastline up close and experience the freedom and joy of sailing by wind. Well, sailing on a historic schooner is an experience like none other that I can think about. It's not your average cruise vacation. It's more like camping on a boat anchored in the ocean.
Excellent. And tell us more about what a cruise is going to be like. Where did you go from? What did you see? And what was life aboard like?
We went from Camden, Maine. The Maine Windjammer Association represents 9 different historic schooners in Maine, and some depart from Camden, and some depart from Rockland. So we were on the Louis R. French that is docked in Camden. We flew into Bangor, rented a car, and drove to Camden. We departed from the dock there.
Okay.
We sail all around the Penobscot Bay. That is the beauty of taking a windjammer cruise from Maine. You are in this bay that is protected, and you're always in view of the shore. And it's a rocky shoreline and beautiful, pristine waters and sea life and eagles. And it's just magical. You can really get away and relax.
Now, the Penobscot Bay is an archipelago of a number of islands near there. So you've got Deer Island and Swan's Island, and also just a little further north from there, a well-known island with Acadia National Park on it. Are you stopping along the way at various places on the shore, or what are you doing?
Well, we go where the wind takes us and where the captain looks at the winds and decides where the ship's going to go. So there is no itinerary. Okay. And when we went, We went around Deer Island. We didn't make it all the way up to Acadia National Park, mm-hmm. but we anchored for the night in secluded coves and harbors. And then we would start the next morning and go wherever the wind would take us.
And so the entire experience is on the boat. You're not doing anything else exploring the different islands.
No, actually, we got off the boat every single evening. We would anchor in a cove within daylight hours. And then we went by a rowboat to the shore to explore that island. Sometimes it was a little village, and sometimes it was a secluded island, but we had lots of opportunities every night of the cruise to get off the ship.
Well, and you say by a little rowboat, so we should probably put some scale in place. How many people are on the boat?
It allowed for about six people at a time. The Louis French had 20 passengers. Okay. It is one of the smallest windjammers in the fleet. And it's the oldest. It's 150 years old this year. So we had 20 passengers, and there were seven couples, and then a father and son duo. And then there were four singles. So there were eight cabins for doubles, and then four singles, and then the crew. There were five crew members.
Okay. The captain, the cook, and deckhands?
Yes, the deckhands. There were four deckhands. And you might be surprised to hear three of them were women.
Okay.
And they were amazing. They could scramble up those ropes. They could do anything a man could do, and better. And faster.
Okay. So, and the Louis French is a schooner. I don't know whether we said that or not. And that will mean something to some people in terms of what the shape of the sails are, but it's a relatively fast boat for a sailing ship, I'm assuming?
Yes, it is, because, and he has won, the captain, Garth Wells, has won numerous races with his boat, the Louis R. French. It's one of the fastest in the fleet because it's one of the smallest.
Okay.
A schooner is a historic sailing ship. And it has multiple masts, two different masts, mm-hmm. and multiple sails, and no motor.
Right. So tell us about a typical day.
A typical day, we would wake up as you would like. Some people really love the early mornings and sneak up to the deck. And there's also always coffee and pastries waiting from us from the cook's galley. And then we have breakfast together. Now, meals are served on the deck. All okay. prepared in this teeny tiny galley. You don't even know how they could possibly do it, but they do it beautifully. And then mid-morning after breakfast, we start to sail. And that will depend on the winds, whether they're heavy or light, and how much sail the captain decides to put up. And we would just take off okay. among the islands.
And you would not stop until the evening, or you would stop along the way, or how did it work?
We would not stop until we were ready to find a place to put in for the evening in a secluded harbor.
Okay.
One time we did. We went to this little village called Castine, up toward the top portion of the bay, where they have the Maritime Academy. And it's a charming little town that we put in early. I would say it was around 3 o'clock. And we went on the little runabout to the shore and spent about 2.5 hours all walking through the little town.
Okay.
And then we later on docked for the evening.
And so this is a trip that you have to enjoy sailing, because most of your time is going to be spent sailing.
That's right. And it's for a wannabe sailor who always wanted to do a trip like this and has no experience at all, or it's for people that have had some sailing background. But honestly, if you just want to sit up on the deck and watch the beautiful shore go by and watch the birds, there is no requirement for any sailing experience.
And you say, watch the birds. I've been in this area. In fact, my daughter's in-laws have a place on Deer Island, so I've been on Deer Isle. And you're talking about an area, I think you mentioned eagles. Quite
yes.
a lot of wildlife in this area, both aquatic and avian. What kind of animals did you see?
We saw pods of dolphins. Mm-hmm. Typically, we would see them when we would anchor for the night in a secluded cove, and it was very, very quiet in the morning. I would go up on board because I'm a photographer, and that's when you get the best shots, sunrise when it's quiet. And they would typically come around the boat. I think they were curious about us. So then that's the best time to see the shorebirds as well, eagles nesting high up in the trees. Mm-hmm. We would also spot cormorants diving for fish and swooping around, but there were all kinds of birds on the shore that were interesting to watch.
Okay. And what season were you there? What time of year?
We were there in late August going into September, right before Labor Day.
Okay.
And the tours happen between May and October.
Got it. So that area also gets a fair number of whales, but I don't think that time of year as much.
Exactly. I think they do see whales because it is in their brochures that it's a possibility, mm-hmm. but not on our trip. I don't think it was the right season.
Okay. I'm just thinking we did a day sailing trip or boat trip, I should say, not a sailing trip, just a little further north of there in Canada and saw quite a few different whales, but it was September, so a little different time of year. What was the highlight of the trip for you? One particular day that really stood out.
It was Lobster Bake Day.
Okay.
One of the highlights of these cruises is having one day when we have a onshore lobster bake. It is something you don't want to miss. The lobsters have already been purchased by the cruise and they're in a tank on board waiting for this evening in salt water. So we all go to the shore. I set up a wood-fired little fire and a big, big pot. And the lobsters are nestled in salt water on top of seaweed. And we have the most magnificent lobster bake.
Okay. We talked a little bit about life aboard and getting up and getting your coffee and your pastry. I'm assuming that everybody is picturing that you've got a cabin with a balcony and just like on the big sailing ships, big cruise ships, right?
No, not at all. This is more like camping on the
you
water.
You mentioned that.
Or glamping, perhaps. It's a little more exciting than camping. The cabins are quite cozy. They're made to be functional and everything has a place and a mm-hmm. purpose, but it's not for luxuriating in your cabin. You have a porthole, but you do not have a balcony.
And I'm assuming that you need to take turns deciding whose time it is to stand on the floor and who has to be on the bed because there's not a lot of floor space.
That is exactly right. It is a model of efficiency. There's a small floor space with a sink in your cabin, and everything is hung on hooks. So we were careful to bring a duffel bag and backpacks, and all of our belongings were up on hooks around us. Yeah, you have to take turns who's going to get in and out of bed first.
Well, and it sounds like a cruise that it'd be really good if you went with people you like, because there's not going to be a lot of places to hide other than in your cabin if you're not getting along with people.
Well, there were 20 guests on the cruise, and that was one of my surprises, was how much we enjoyed interacting with the mm-hmm. other cruisers. I would say that almost 3/4 of them have taken this cruise multiple times with Captain Garth on the Louis R. French.
Interesting.
They love it that much.
One of the things that I find, and I don't know if this has been your experience as a travel writer, but I find if you do something that's a little more adventurous, and I think a sailing ship where they can't tell you the itinerary is a little more adventurous than the big cruise ship or whatever, that you tend to get people who are a little more adventurous. And I think it tends to lead to real wonderful experiences in terms of the people you meet, in my experience.
That is a good observation. And everybody was on board with how it was all going to unfold. Now, the first night, you were just a little nervous because this is, for me, it was all a new experience. The fact that your cabin is so cozy and the fact that there are two heads on board.
Oh, okay.
That's
only
it.
Two. All right.
Only two.
Meaning bathrooms. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Marine toilets.
Yes. For 20 passengers and 5 crew members, that's 4 crew and the captain. But it was never an issue. One of the bathrooms upstairs had a shower in it. It was a hot water shower. Now, it was handheld, but it was possible to have a shower every day. And it wasn't as uncomfortable as I thought maybe it would be using a unisex bathroom with 18 other strangers.
Well, and you're in Maine, so if you do something like when we think of going sailing, if you're going sailing down in the Caribbean, it's no problem. You just jump into the water once a day or something like that and then have a little water to wash you off. I'm assuming you didn't spend a lot of time jumping into Penobscot Bay.
No, the chef cook one day, he was such a character. He was from Austin, Texas, and his name was Nails. Well, he climbed up high and did the most perfect swan dive off of the deck into the water. And then we had one of the travelers. He was a big swimmer. So on the day that we had our shore lobster bake, he actually put his swim trunks on and he swam all the way to the island and back.
But for the rest of you, a little colder.
Yes, the rest of us did not swim. It's true. But the bathroom situation was not an issue.
Okay. Well, and so in terms of distance, as I look at a map, you probably never got more than 20, 25 miles from where you started. So this is not a endurance race sort of thing where you're trying to get a long way away.
That is absolutely correct. One of the wonderful things we were given when we arrived in our cabin was this lovely map of the Penobscot Bay and all about our trip and all of the islands. And at the end of the trip, Captain Garth would draw with a Sharpie pen our entire route and where we stopped for the night. And then he signed them for us. And I still have that right now, right here beside me. And we did not go far. It is true. But it doesn't matter. It's the experience of sailing and the breeze on your face and what you're looking at is what matters, not how fast or far that you go.
Well, and as I recall, and I might be wrong about this, one of the reasons why the name of the company is Maine Windjammer is that when they started this, and because the company's at least 20 years old, I don't remember how long they've been around, but there was a company that did Caribbean cruises called Windjammer, and we have an episode on it way, way back in the archives, probably in year one of Amateur Traveler, because we did that for my 40th birthday. They're unfortunately a company that's no longer in business. After the man who founded it died, his sons couldn't keep it running. It was a little different experience than this because it was a sail-assisted ship. I mean, it had big sails, but it also did have a motor. Very different, too, because we were cruising bigger distances and we would actually raise the sails at sunset and they'd cruise through the night while we slept. So you're doing very, very different where you're doing all your sailing during the day. Obviously better for a photographer if you want to actually get pictures of the ship and the sails.
Yes, that's true. I did get some spectacular photographs. No, I believe the Maine Windjammer Association is the only windjammer association or the biggest one in the U.S. at the moment.
Could be. I can't think of another one right now. So somebody's going to write me and tell me I'm wrong. So I'm looking forward to that. Excellent. Sharon, is there anything else we want to talk about before we start to wrap this up?
Let's see. I would say the best thing about this Windjammer cruise for me was the sunsets. Mm-hmm. They were spectacular. And every evening, that was the highlight of our early evening. Everyone on deck watching it unfold. And the wind blowing through my hair and inhaling the pure sea air and seeing the millions of stars at night from the deck in the quiet. It was a renewal for the soul.
Well, and you don't have a lot of room in your cabin, so you need to pack with some care. One thing you packed that you were really glad you brought, and one thing was a waste of space.
Let's see. Too many clothes was the waste of space.
Sure.
It doesn't matter what you wear. You might go to bed in your clothes and wake up and have your coffee. And before you know it, half the morning's gone and you haven't changed. So too many clothes for one thing.
Okay.
I knew that there were no air conditioning and I didn't know what the weather was going to be. So I packed a fan. Well, that was really silly. Number one, I didn't need it. Number two, it took up valuable space.
Mm-hmm.
there was a plug in the room for a CPAP machine. You can take CPAP machines is one word for guests, so you know that's possible. But there was no room to set up the fan anyway.
No, I can imagine. Not a lot of clear horizontal surfaces.
No.
Excellent. You were standing in the prettiest spot from the whole trip. Where are you standing? What are you looking at?
I am at the bow.
Okay.
Part of the fun of this experience was you could be as involved or not that you wanted to be. So we got to hoist the sails. We got to lower the anchor. We got to go to the helm and steer the ship. But my favorite place was right above in front of the anchor. It made like a little bench. And I would go up there with my coffee and in my own little seat at the very bow. I felt like I was in the Titanic movie and it was
King
me up there at the bow. Yes, yes. And I was Rose. I could raise my arms. And so that's my very favorite spot.
Excellent. And one thing that makes you laugh and say only on a Windjammer cruise.
The lobsters at the lobster bank. Do you know we had 60 lobsters?
Oh my.
For 20 guests. And one guest ate 5 lobsters.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, where in the world with the cost of a lobster steam lobster dinner? Can you imagine? Well, yes, please, I'll have another. And then at the end of that experience, the crew picked out the meat, and the next day we had the most fabulous lobster bisque that was even better than the steamed lobsters the night before. So that's only on a Windjammer cruise.
Excellent. And if you had to summarize the experience in just 3 words, what 3 words would you use, Sharon?
I would say unplug, unwind, and relax.
Excellent. I feel like you have thought about those for your article here.
Yes, they are in my story.
Now, your articles are not out yet. Where are we going to find them when they come out, hopefully?
I will be publishing a piece on Go Nomad Travel. It's an online travel magazine about the Maine maritime history and the history of the Lewis R. French, because it is a historic national landmark, the oldest schooner in America. And then I'm going to be writing for a Dallas magazine with an online presence called FYI 50 Plus, all about my Maine Windjammer experiences and why you should take one.
Excellent. Well, and Max from Go Nomad has been on the show himself. If you want to hear Max tell a story, you can listen to the old episode we did on Sardinia. And Sharon, when that gets published, eventually it may end up on SharonKKurtz.com, but it's not going to be there right away. But you'll let us know when you have written about it there, and we'll put a link in the show notes to your site.
I will. Thank you.
You also do some travel, some tour leading.
I do. I work part-time for a women's travel company called Women Traveling Together. And it's the most wonderful concept where you can be solo, but we meet at the destination. We all become less than 18 people, usually 14 if it's domestic, 18 if it's international. And before you know it, we're all fast friends. Well, my next trip I will lead will be to Egypt in March of 2022. Then Highlights of Italy in May of 2022. And then Colorado Trains in August.
Excellent. Well, and the website for that, we had a little trouble finding it this morning, is womentraveling.com, and traveling with one L, the U.S. way of spelling it. Sharon Kurtz, thank you so much for coming on Amateur Traveler and sharing with us a experience that made me jealous about the Maine Windjammer cruise.
Well, I think everyone should take one. Thank you very much for having me.
This was a little different episode than our usual one. It's going to be a little shorter episode too, but when you don't have an itinerary to talk about, you'll have this. I hope you liked it, but let me know if you want to do more like this in the future. Special thanks go out to the patrons of the show who help support Amateur Traveler financially. I appreciate what they do. If you want to become a patron of the show, you can go to patreon.com/amateurtraveler and learn more. Speaking of learning more, we have started voting on where a 2022 trip for amateur traveler would be. Those discussions have started at amateurtraveler.com/trip, which will redirect you to a private Facebook group. If you want to take part in those discussions, then please go there. With that, we're going to end this episode of Amateur Traveler Podcast. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. Thanks so much for listening. You know I love it. I got to see one more come.